Let's go to the book of Acts for our scripture reading here this morning. The book of Acts is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, chapter 16. And we're going to start at verse 25. Acts 16, verse 25. And if you have your spot, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Good. Here's what God's Word says. This is a very familiar story. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, once again, we have read your scripture here this morning. And Father, we want to grow in your word. We want to hear your truth, Lord. And Father, we know that that will be something that feeds the spirit within us. Father God, as once again you have elected me as your representative here at this church, Father, I want to proclaim nothing but the truth here this morning, Lord. So, Father, have the Holy Spirit guide every word that comes from my lips here this morning, Lord, because the last thing I want to do is proclaim something that is not of you. Father God, you get all the glory. As John the Baptist said, may I decrease and may your name increase, Lord. I hide behind the cross here this morning, and I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I have what I think is good news for you here this morning. As I was practicing this message yesterday, it was very, very long, so I'm going to break it in half. So you're only going to get half of it today, which means whoever put that Snickers bar on my dashboard last week, I got the message loud and clear, okay? Today, I'm going to talk about a subject that is not only very interesting, but it can also be very controversial. It is very rarely preached in churches, which means that when it's not preached, it allows the people to arrive at their own conclusions, which sometimes they can arrive at wrong conclusions. This morning, I'd like to bring this subject to light because I want everyone to know what I believe the scripture says about this subject. And the subject is this: can a person who has never heard about Jesus or heard the gospel message, can they be saved? The belief that someone can be saved without hearing the gospel or knowing about Jesus goes under two different names. Sometimes it's called natural theology, and sometimes it's called the wider mercy doctrine. It's called natural theology because of this. With this belief, natural theology, people believe that you, a person, a man or a woman, can naturally reach up to God, and because they have some ability to do this, that they can come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ without divine revelation. That they can just naturally ascend into a relationship to God. It's also called the wider mercy doctrine because back in 1997, two very prominent theologians of our times coined it that. They coined it the wider mercy doctrine. And I'll get into that probably next week. I was planning on doing it today, but it will have to wait till next week. The answer to the question is this: can somebody come into a saving relationship without ever hearing the gospel? The answer is no, they cannot. And this morning, I'm going to look at a biblical and a logical defense for this truth. And I know that when people hear, well, why can't they? It's not fair. I've heard all the arguments back and forth, but just like any other subject that we talk about, where do we have to go to find the truth? We go to God's Word. When we think about someone who has never heard the gospel, especially in today's world, we think about natives that might be on some island somewhere or in some remote part of the jungle. And I'm sure that there are people in those parts of the world that have never heard the gospel message. But have you ever thought about this? Is there somebody right within your own workplace, within our own community, within our own county, within our own state that has never heard of Jesus, that has never heard the saving message of Jesus Christ? I could almost guarantee that there is. It's just that when we think about someone who hasn't heard of the message, we think about this guy and this tribe on an island somewhere. So for the sake of that, do you remember, it was probably about 30 years ago, there was a TV miniseries by Alex Haley called Roots. And if you remember Roots, it was about his, what's the word I'm looking for? His ancestry from Kunta Kinte, who was the native that was captured out of Africa, brought to the New World up until the time of Alex Haley. So this morning, when I refer to Kunta Kinte, I'm referring to that person who is on an island or in some remote part of the world who has never heard the gospel message. So what we're going to do this morning, in our bulletins, we have five fill-in-the-blanks, and when we get to after we get to the fifth one, we're going to stop there and then pick up again next week and finish this, because for the sake of the person who put the Snickers bar on my dashboard, I will make us a little brief here this morning. So instead of keeping you all morning, we'll just keep you half the morning, and we'll finish up next week. So let's get a good foundation of why this natural theology cannot be true. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, and read verses 13 and 14, because somewhere we have to have a good starting point. I have used this scripture time and time again to support different Christian doctrinal beliefs, and I'm going to use it again here this morning to just reaffirm something here. Verses 13 and 14 out of Matthew chapter 7 say this, and this is Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount: "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Our fill in the blank would be this: only a few people enter into eternal life. I wanted this to be the first one because I think this is the one big misunderstanding among people today. A lot of people today, even among the Christian population, think that everybody's going to make it into heaven. Everybody's going to inherit eternal life, or at least the majority of people are going to inherit eternal life. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says only a few are going to make it. I still remember the very first message that I preached here on October 21st, 2007. I used this verse to say pretty much the exact same thing. And I did this: many find the broad road, only few find it. Many will enter the path of destruction, and only few, just a few, are going to find that narrow road that leads to eternal life. If you are sitting in here this morning and you are a believer and you have a believing relationship, a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you know that we are some of the most fortunate people on the face of this earth because we are part of the few? We are the few, folks. We are the few. Not everybody makes it. I've said it time and time and time again. Churches are populated, filled with unbelievers and people who think they know God, who really don't. They don't have any more a saving relationship with Jesus Christ than the man on the moon does. But our first foundational point here this morning is this. Only a few people are going to enter into eternal life. Now, let's move to the second point. And for that, I'm going to go to Romans chapter 3. And these are also outlined in your bulletin. So if you just want to go to the same place I'm going, I'm going to go to two different places for this next point. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. I'll read that one first. And then we'll go to Ephesians and read that and kind of connect them together. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Now with that, I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to put the two of them together for our fill in the blank, and we'll talk about that point. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this, as for you, and he's talking to the people at Ephesus, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in all those who are disobedient. Putting the two of those together, our second fill in the blank would say this. Everyone is dead spiritually because of their sins. We are all dead. There is no one who is righteous. No one. Nobody in here. Nobody outside there. It says this. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We are all dead in our transgressions. We are all dead in our sins. And that includes all of us. That includes, if you read the little thing on the side of the bulletin, that includes Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was with sin. There was only one person who ever walked the face of this earth who was without sin, and that was Jesus Christ himself. Everybody else has fallen short of the glory of God, and everyone else is guilty of sin. Talking about Kunta Kinte and the native who's out on in that jungle somewhere, there's two things that I can guarantee you that about him. One, he's worshiping something. He's worshiping something. And two, he's a sinner. Because if he wasn't both of those, then this portion of the scripture would not be true. So Kunta Kinte is just as much a sinner as what we are. Okay, his sins just might be a little different, and we might not, I don't know what they are, but the Bible says this, everyone has fallen short of the glory of God, and that includes our friend in the jungle. Back in the early part of this year, I did a 6-week series on God's plan of salvation. In God's plan of salvation, there were 6 steps that I outlined, and the 6 steps were this. That we are separated from God because of our sin. There needs to be forgiveness for that sin. There needs to be a sacrifice for that sin. We have to believe in that sacrifice. Once we believe in that sacrifice, there needs to be repentance. And then once all that has happened, there is victory. Step number 6, we have victory in Jesus. If we go through those steps, We are separated from God because of our sin. We are separated from God because of our sin. Kunta Kinte is separated from God because of his sin and everyone in his tribe. To restore that relationship that we need to have with God, our sins must be forgiven. God's requirement for us people today in the New Testament is this, that there needs to be a perfect sacrifice. And that perfect sacrifice was Jesus Christ on the cross. Hebrews 9:22 says this, that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. So God's plan of salvation says this, I'm going to bring my son, Jesus, into the world. He's going to die for the sins of the whole world instead of just the sins of the Jewish people and those people who believed in the law, so that all who believe can have eternal life. There is a sacrifice. We need to believe in that sacrifice. To fill in our third fill-in-the-blank, we're going to go to three different parts of Scripture to reinforce God's plan of salvation. The first place we're going to go is John chapter 14, verse 6. Again, all these scriptures that I'm going to use here this morning are pretty common, pretty familiar scriptures, which we've all heard at some point in time. John 14, 6. Thomas is asking a question, and Jesus answers him, and he says this, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. Okay? So we know that no one can get to the Father except through him. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, this is where Peter is talking to the Sanhedrin, and he's saying this, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And of course, the name that he's talking about here is the name of Jesus Christ. And then the third place I want to go is to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And in 1 Timothy, he's going to say pretty much the exact same thing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. By these three scriptures and others that I don't have here in front of me, we know this, and our third fill in the blank would say this, Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. He's the only way to eternal life. We have to have Jesus as our mediator between us and God. There is no other mediator under heaven by which men must be saved. So, for those of you that still might not buy into this, I understand because I was there at one point in time. But let's go through a couple more bits of scripture here and try to solidify this. Let's go to our fourth fill in the blank, and let's go to John 3:16. This is a scripture that I really shouldn't even have to look at here to read. We should all know what John 3:16 says. John 3:16 says this, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Okay? Likewise, I'm going to go to Romans chapter 10, verse 4, and then put the two of these verses together and come up with our fill in the blank. Romans 10, 4 says this, Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Our fill in the blank would say this, To have forgiveness, we must believe in God's sacrifice. To have His forgiveness, to have God's forgiveness, we must believe in God's sacrifice. That's what the Word of God says. We have to believe in it. Folks, I can guarantee you one thing. If you are sitting in here and you claim that you are a believer, You are a believer because you heard the Word of God and you believe in the Word of God. You believed in the sacrifice. You heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's what brought you to salvation. For our fifth and last fill in the blank, let's go to Romans chapter 10. We're already there, and I'm going to read verses 9 through 17. And if you're still not convinced that we need to hear about Jesus, if this doesn't convince you, then come on back next week and we'll finish up. But this is going to pretty much finish us up here this morning. Chapter 10, verses 9 through 17. And this is what Paul is writing to the Romans and says. Actually, I'm going to start with verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'm just going to stop right there, even though I'm going to read three more verses. Everyone, the Bible says this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what it says, so it must be true. But now Paul is going to make an argument for that. He says this, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? The clincher verse, number 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. Paul is given a very logical argument here, and he's saying this. You're not going to be able to call on someone that you don't believe in. And you can't believe in someone that you've never heard. And you can't hear about him unless someone comes and preaches or talks to you or shares the gospel with you. And that doesn't happen unless somebody is sent. Paul ultimately says this, faith comes from hearing the message. And hearing comes from the word of God. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. I'll say it before and I'll say it again. You heard and you believed and you are sitting in here as a believer because some point in time you heard the saving message, you heard the gospel about Jesus Christ, and you got saved. Now, let's go back to where we started, to the book of Acts, and I'm just going to conclude there for today, and then we'll pick up next week. Acts chapter 16. I chose this scripture verse because there's one verse in here that really strikes the point. This morning I read verses 25 through 34, and I'm just going to read verses 31 and 32 because this is the verse that is so key. Everybody sees 31, but nobody sees verse 32. Verse 31 says, well, let's go back to 30. He brought them out and asked, and this is the jailer asking, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Now let's just stop right there. If you had no clue as the jailer who Jesus was, and I went up to you and Roger, you're the Philippian jailer. And you ask me, sirs, how must I be saved? And I said, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I just left. What would that do? Believe in who? Who is Jesus? What did Jesus do? Why should I believe in him? Isn't there more to this thing than just Jesus? Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus? That's why it says in verse 32, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. You can't stop it at telling somebody they need Jesus. Why do I need Jesus? You have to explain the whole gospel message to somebody so they understand who Jesus is, so they know that he was a sacrifice, so they know that they are sinful people, that they realize that they are separated, that they know that they need forgiveness of their sins, that they know that there was a sacrifice, and that we need to believe in that sacrifice. And then once we believe in that sacrifice, to repent from our sins afterwards. The message is more than just believe in Jesus. What is it about Jesus that I need to believe? The verse doesn't stop there. Believe in the Lord Jesus. And then Paul and Silas headed on back home. They spoke the word of the Lord to them. Because without hearing the whole message, there would not be salvation. Now, I know some of you are curious and some of you have different parts in the Bible that you go and say, but it says here, it says, I realize that. That's next week. So you got to come back and hear part two of the message. I promised that I would stop short because if I keep on going, we will be here a while here this morning, folks. But I do believe that the other side of the coin needs their fair day in court, which I will present next week. I wanted to present this part of it first because I wanted to let you know, first of all, where I stand. Second of all, what I believe the Word says about hearing the Word of God. If you don't hear, you don't understand. If no one preaches, you can't believe. Someone has to be sent. And sometimes, folks, that could just be you. That could be you. Maybe you are that person that needs to go to that other person who has never heard about Jesus or doesn't know the full story of the gospel message. You know, sometimes people only get half a message. They get half a truth. But you have the opportunity of going and presenting the full truth to your coworkers, to your family, to your friends, whoever that may be. So, as I promised, I'm going to stop there because if I start on part two, we're never getting out of here. So, with that, let me just conclude with this. Folks, you are saved, you are believers because you heard the word, the full message of Jesus Christ. No other way. Let's go to God in prayer.